St. John Lutheran Church was officially organized on March 2nd of 1856, almost exactly 164 years ago today. And in those 164 years, this church has seen some ups and downs. I've heard the stories of the hard times when decisions were made about what bills to pay and when. Times when it seemed foolish to even consider keeping the doors open. And yet the members of this assembly of the body of Christ remained faithful and persevered, gathering each week around word and sacrament, caring for each other and their neighbors with love, and continuing to look to the future that God had laid before them, laying both a literal and figurative foundation upon which their children and grandchildren would build. And we can be thankful for these ancestors of faith, for their trust that God would provide what they needed, which allowed them to be generous in their support of this congregation. Thankful for their vision for the future of the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can be thankful that in so many ways they were foolish. Foolish enough to believe that even before there was a town of 200 people, there could be an assembly of believers. Foolish enough to be generous with their own money in tough times so that this place of worship would continue to exist. Foolish enough to believe in a future that God would provide for. Foolish enough to believe that the good news of God's love for all of us in Jesus Christ was worth it. The Apostle Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, is writing to a community that is struggling to define its identity as the Church of God in a complex and sophisticated urban setting. The church was made up of members who grew up Jewish and Gentile, who came from different social backgrounds, and this led to tensions, as the groups within the church in Corinth tended to define themselves by their differences rather than their common life. And in response to this, Paul reminds them of what unites them: the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. A message that is foolishness. Even more so today, if you think about it. That God would come as a human being, one of us. Even more so that this divine human one would be willing to suffer at the hands of those whom God has created, to die an agonizing death on the cross so that we might be saved from the very thing that put Jesus on that cross, our sin. Our belief that we can be God, that we know what is best in this world. And this message is foolish enough to proclaim that 3 days after Jesus' brutal death, he was raised again, proving that for God, even death doesn't stand a chance. Paul reminds them that unlike most things in this world, God doesn't need the powerful, the wealthy, the well-known, the smartest to achieve God's purpose. Look around, he says. How many of you are wise by human standards? How many of you are of noble birth? How many of you are powerful or influential in this world? Look around you, siblings in Christ, at those who make up this assembly that is St. John. There are those families who go back 164 years in this community, and those like me who moved in a couple of years ago. There are those who are native to Iowa, those of us who have moved from different places. Take a look. How many of us in this room were born into wealth and power. How many of us have PhDs? How many of us are social influencers? And yet, as Paul reminds us, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. This is the calling to which you have been called by God: to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor enough to risk our foolish proclamation, that through it we might save those who believe. And who is this proclamation for? Everyone, for certain. But in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus reminds us who this gospel affects most: the poor in spirit, those who have given up hope, the meek, those who mourn, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, the persecuted. For even as we are not amongst those who people would call the powerful, the wise, the mighty, our message is for all those who recognize their own brokenness, their own unworthiness, their own falling short. And that includes us, doesn't it? It has been my privilege to minister to and with you for 3 years now. And I cannot say how many times I've seen the ways in which you serve each other and your neighbors, how you have expressed your love and the love of God in those actions, how many times I've been humbled by your generosity and thought to myself, man, how did I get to be so lucky? And I may not always say it, and I certainly do not show it as often as I ought, but I do indeed love each and every one of you, brothers and sisters, for who you are, for the gifts that you bring. And so, as we begin our 165th year of existence as an assembly of believers, as we gather together around what saves us, the word proclaimed, the meal shared, may all of this be food for the journey and encouragement for this year of ministry, that we might be God's hands and feet in Ely and Solon and Mount Vernon and Shuiville now and forever. Amen.